You're listening to She Well Read.
Get ready to be part of a community that is dedicated to helping you become the most well-read version of yourself through reading.
On this show, we hope to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of self-care while increasing your knowledge on various topics.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show.
Oh, we're recording. Hi.
Hey. Hello. Hi. Hello.
What was just happening?
I just like in my brain stopped, and I don't know what happened.
World stop.
Carry on. Okay, but hey, well-read baddies, welcome to another episode of She Well Read, your favorite bite-sized book club podcast. I'm your host Alana,
and I'm Samra,
and today we are discussing. Damn, I couldn't even. I was like travel. But that's not
Black Girl.
Yes, the essay.
Ooh, but she did remember essay.
I think I was focusing so much on saying essay. The word essay instead of chapter that I brain farted the actual name of the chapter.
We got it right today.
We did.
Essay.
The essay, Black Girl Will Travel. Yeah. But before we get into that, you know what I'm about to do. Shout out corner. Follow us everywhere at She Well Read. Scary stories. This is the last week we can take scary stories. So, like, I don't know. If your house was haunted once upon a time, tell us the story. If somebody was murdered in a house that you know of or lived in, or just, like, a crazy story.
Scary. Yeah.
Or, like, even if, like, a moment where you're like, it gave me full body chills. Send it. Okay. We want to hear it. Yeah. You'll hear it on the show. We'll shout you out. Send them in, shewellread@gmail.com. What else? Subscribe to our YouTube channel and leave us comments on the videos. Tell us what you're thinking. Give us your feedback.
Yeah.
So I wanted to spotlight one of our affiliates today.
Okay.
But I forgot the product. It's at my house.
Check it out.
So when this comes out, we'll post about it on our story or something. But I wanted to shout out one of our affiliates, Cure Hydration. They are a women-owned business. And did you know, I found this out on their website, 75% of Americans are dehydrated.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm one of them. I'm sitting here right now dehydrated.
Me! When I read it at first, I was like, damn, 75. And then I was like, well.
It's hard to drink enough water. You're supposed to really drink like 2 gallons a day.
Is it really 2 gallons?
Like two? I think so.
Oh,
maybe it's just one, but
damn,
it's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water. You know, like 70% of our body is water,
right? Which it's like, can't y'all just keep that shit in?
No.
If so much of it's water, why am I dehydrated?
Because
and
you
not
have to
dead?
Like cleanse the water. It's like filtering the water. Like when you drink new
like
water.
Like
we are human
Brettas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, because we're releasing water too.
Right. In our urine, it releases all the toxins.
Oh.
And then we put in new water.
I didn't take
we're
that
going
class.
Really deep. I could be talking shit. I don't know. That's
somebody
what just makes
comment
sense to me.
Down below.
Yeah.
Autumn.
Dr. Stisher. Yeah. Future Dr. Stisher.
Speaking of which, your birthday present finally got here. So, can't wait to show that one to you. Cancer so, friend.
So, exposed. Zodiac sign.
Exposed.
Not she doesn't have cancer.
Oh, yeah. No.
I was like, wait.
She's just a cancer.
Yes, zodiac. But yes, so they are hydrating electrolyte packets. So, they're really good for if you're going to like go take a run or any type of exercise. It like refuels the electrolytes in your body and just like makes you really hydrated. Like I said, kind of like liquid IV.
I need that.
I got some.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to you.
Please, because, girl, I'm trying to be part of the 30%.
Wait, that math's not right. 25?
Oh. Yeah.
I was like.
I thought you said 70.
Mm-mm, 75. It's okay. If it was 70, you were right.
Yeah.
And they're also plant-based. Women-owned business. Like,
what's
it's
not
clean.
To love?
Right, what's not to like?
Yeah.
So all of that to say, check out, Cure. Yes.
And link in bio.
You can use our code, I I want to say it's She Well Read 20.
I just put them in there yesterday.
It's in our milkshake. So it's either She Well Read 20 or She Well Read.
I think it is She Well Read 20.
I feel like that's right.
Check it out, y'all.
Check it out. Our links, it's tagged. All right. So coffee break / tea time. First up.
What?
It's you.
Samra's IG getting hacked.
Ooh. You hate to see it.
Okay, so there's a story behind this that I wanted to tell.
Yes, make it short.
Okay, so this is what was going down. I got scammed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Literally, because tell me why this African man told me he was going to ruin my modeling career because I wouldn't send him the money for the fake house he was trying to get me to rent.
Right, like he was already trying to scam you and like you got out of it before he could do the full scam.
Scammer alive.
No, I think he's a dedicated scammer.
Really? Because
the fact that he came back and was like, I'm going to try again.
I know.
Like, that was bold.
That was so bold. I was like, are you just out of money or something?
Gotta
and you
be.
Just like went through your contacts. He's like, I got all your information and did. And anyway, threatened me. Next day, Instagram shut down, deleted completely.
It's so wild. Did you ever file a police report?
No.
Please do, because this man sounds nuts.
Huh. I mean, I really might.
No, not might. Like, I'm telling you, because.
But they don't do anything.
But at least it'll be on record.
I did report it to, like, the National Bureau of Hack Scamming. So, like, I didn't do a police report, but I did, like.
Okay. But I.
Above a police report.
I don't know. This is, like, strike two.
I know. No, this is crazy, guys. There's just, like, there's a lot of people out here right now trying to get the best of us.
Yeah. And especially with holiday season coming up, it's, like, prime scammer season.
So, everyone be careful.
Seriously. Be careful. If it feels iffy or fishy.
Or if they're trying to rush you into anything. Don't give in to the pressure. Because that's not it.
It's not. It's not it. But I'm so sorry.
But rest in peace, because I had that account for
ever
years. Since, like, you know, middle school. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't, because I was allowed to have social media. I didn't get, like, any social media until freshman year of college.
What?
Yeah.
I thought, like, you were going to say high school.
No, I didn't even have, like, MySpace and stuff or Facebook.
That's not true, though, because you showed me high school pictures of you on the gram.
Yeah, but that was, like, on Instagram.
This is cap.
That is cap.
Remember freshman year seeing you dress up as Beyonce on your Instagram. Yep.
No, you're right. Okay, so I had Instagram, but I think the big one, it was like I didn't have MySpace or Facebook.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't get Instagram. Okay, I didn't get my Instagram, though, until senior year. And I'm talking about, like, late senior year of high school. Okay. Damn near freshman year of college.
Okay.
Yeah. You're like, technicality, but.
Anyway.
Anywho, be safe out here. Be careful. Next. The girls are fighting.
Please update us on the girls, because all I'm seeing is, like, people are changing their profile pictures.
Petty.
It's funny.
It's hilarious.
Is
like, I was cackling because I watched it in real time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, that's always the best.
It is. Like, I think I was on the phone with Maya. I was on the phone with Maya, and I was like, girl. And she was like, girl.
Is it Cardi and Nicki?
Okay, so here's what I know, and some of this could be a little off. But from what I've puzzle pieced together, mm-hmm. is that Glorilla, because, you know, Glorilla just won, I think, best new hip hop artist at the BET Hip Hop Awards. I don't know what award she won, but she won
fast.
She's really on the come up, and no, as she should
as
be.
As she should.
Mm-hmm. But this was before that. I think it was, like, when she was nominated. I don't know. It had something to do with Glorilla. Like, Glorilla was a part of it. Like, not directly, but some type of way. Because. Okay. I know. It started in JT and Cardi's DMs.
Okay.
And it was, I guess it was a little civil, but then JT took it to Twitter. And
she
then since JT took it to Twitter, Cardi went to Twitter.
Okay.
And, like, she called her, like, a lap dog or something like that.
Cardi called JT that?
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know. We don't know. And, like, they were just going back and forth for a while.
Uh-huh.
basically Cardi fell into the trap because it was like, just don't engage. It's not worth it. Mm-mm. And because JT said something along the lines of, this was supposed to be Glorilla's day, da 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 da. So that's why I'm like, Glorilla had something, like something happened, mm-hmm. but like she wasn't directly involved, I don't think. But basically, they were going back and forth, and then they got into like streams and all of this.
No,
like,
Cardi attacked each other. Like,
yeah, Cardi was like, "I'm doing laps around you," and I was like, like City Girls and like what streaming numbers? Because well, first JT was petty. Like, but it was because JT was like, "You were trying to get with our people," and da 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 da. And she was like, "No, girl, they were trying to get me." So Cardi came with receipts. Shots were fired.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. It's never a good look to be like, look at how much I've done and look at you and da 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 da. Because when you point the finger,
it's like, wait, is this you? Because you know Cardi's fans found this video of JT literally in an interview being like, yeah, Cardi influenced me so much. And it's like, ma'am, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
It was bad.
No, and then, that's just not necessary.
It's not necessary. Like, the whole thing was unnecessary. Mm. But you know, Cardi, she's like, let's go. You bitch want to party with Cardi.
I love Cardi. I love JT too.
Right. That's why I was like, no. And then, but then, Nikki got in it when she had no business.
No.
She had no business.
Nikki. She's so like, I feel like she's like, I love her, right? But mm-hmm. I think there's a certain point in someone's life when sometimes they're not open to changing anymore. And I feel like that's where Nikki is. And she's almost like, she just gets caught embarrassing herself too much for me to be able to stand her.
Yeah, it's like, girl, come on. Please.
Mm-hmm. You look old and bitter.
But like, just her husband alone.
That canceled.
Canceled. But again, moving on. So then Nikki got involved, and then Nikki changed her profile picture to JT.
Why? Oh, because she's on JT's side.
And then Cardi changed her profile picture to Remy Ma.
That's so funny.
That's when I cackled.
No, that's what made me laugh. I was like, y'all throwing her into the mix.
Remy said, why did they say fuck Remy? Literally. So, yeah. But I'm just like, and everybody's just like, can y'all please stop? Like, please. Yeah. Like, this is not a good look.
You're making us.
Like, City Boy's up 10,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just not worth it.
They have enough to say about black rap girlies.
Mm-hmm. That we're just
doing
adding
good,
fuel to the fire. Right.
That, like, when we're doing bad, it's just like, damn.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
We lost this one.
Mm-hmm. We did. But I think, apparently, they made up. JT and Cardi made up.
I feel like it was a publicity stunt.
I don't know.
I don't feel like it was.
I'm hoping it was. I don't know. But either way, you hate to see it. And yeah. I really hope everybody just smooths it on out. Let's move on.
Get this bread.
Well, yeah. Come together and get this bread.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's literally all it should ever be.
So, yeah, that was something that happened this week. And then the next thing I saw on Twitter, it was this tweet talking about how I think this girl, I wish I had the tweet, but she was basically like, yeah, like I did the whole quit my 9-to-5, went on my entrepreneurship grind, but now I'm back at my 9-to-5 because that life just wasn't for me.
Wow.
And I was like, that's brave though. Like, and honest. And I feel like it doesn't get talked about enough because we all like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's this wave right now of like, oh yeah, be an entrepreneur, be your own boss, make your own money, like get rich quick and like all these things. But there's so much work being a freelance entrepreneur, whatever, mm-hmm. that people don't think about that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this shame on if you go and do it, then you can never come back. That's and you like have point. To thug it out.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
Or start scamming.
Because
you're too embarrassed to go back to your 9-to-5 because you talked all that shit about quitting your 9-to-5 and made that your whole personality. Anyway, there's no shame in that.
There isn't. There really is no shame in that. And that's why I feel like that's a, like, for me, you know, I want to go into podcasting and like really get in there and one day maybe quit my 9-to-5 and do it full time. But I know I have something to fall back on. Like, I have my degree, I have my experience. Like, I'm not afraid that if it doesn't work out, that I'll just be shit out of luck.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I feel like never put all your eggs in one basket, even if it is starting your own business. Like, maybe have something in the background that makes you feel better about not potentially having income one month if you need to take a break.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. So all of that to say, if you do it, like, there's literally no shame.
Yeah.
And I feel like not many people talk about that part of it. Like, if it doesn't work out, because as much as we want everybody to make it and get like, it's not realistic though.
That's true. Yeah. A lot of businesses are just short term, you know, maybe not everything is meant to be like long term
or even right then when you did it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to like,
it was
step
the right
back.
Time at that time.
Yeah.
And now it's not, it's like no longer the right time. You can sunset something and come back to it if you want.
Right. Right.
That's what's cool about being your own boss. It's like, I don't have to like put a resignation letter in and put my 2 weeks in and like wrap everything up. Like, I can literally drop this shit tomorrow and who's gonna check me?
Nobody.
It's me against me.
And I will say, especially if you're like single and like on your own, it's way easier to like be like, well, you know, kind of like your risk averseness, like,
yeah,
how risk averse you are.
Right.
But yeah, so all of that to say, I was like, that is a very good perspective that I don't see often.
I love a good perspective, a we different love perspective. One.
Which, speaking of perspective, let's get into the chapter.
Period.
Because this was a big perspective chapter, I feel.
It was.
So, okay.
I liked this one.
I did like this one, too. And I was just telling Samra before we started, y'all, I was like, this is probably my favorite chapter so far.
It was a really good one.
It was really good.
It was like very uplifting.
I keep saying chapter. Essay!
Oh, I didn't even catch it. So it's better than me.
I'm so weak. Okay.
Essay.
Let's get it started. She starts off, she's on this trip in Zimbabwe, which first of all, goals.
No, right.
And she's about to jump off this bridge with her like friend, business partner, hype man, da-da-da-da-da. And I really like how she talks about their very differing personalities.
Yeah.
Like, her friend is just super, like, chill.
Yeah.
And she's like...
Right.
And
they balance each other.
Yeah, it made me think about... It honestly made me think about us, because we very much have differing personalities.
Yeah, that's true.
But it works. Mm-hmm. Like, it really does. Well. Like, I don't know. We're very similar.
Yeah.
But we're also very different.
Very different, but similar.
Yeah.
At the core, maybe.
At the core.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think at the core. I would agree. This is further down, but she talks about Africa Phoebe, how it's different than like normal Phoebe.
Right.
And that's me on trips and vacation. It's like, this is trip Lana, and then there's like everyday Lana. Because when I'm on a trip,
it's different.
It's different because I don't
I'm
have
my
fun. I'm more fun. I don't have my responsibilities. I'm ready to get lit, turn up.
Right. What else am I going to do?
That's why you go on vacation. I mean, sometimes you go on vacation to relax.
Well, hers was like kind of a working vacation. It wasn't like
fundraising
vacation.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was kind of getting to shadow Team Red.
Team Red.
Hashtag
yes.
Team Red. They invited Phoebe and her assistant to come to see how the funds are being used. Seems like the idea behind it.
They're fighting to end AIDS and reduce the price of HIV and AIDS medication so that people can afford it.
Right. So it opens up people's lives in the sense that they didn't think they were going to be able to have the experiences that they're having at this point.
Mm-hmm. And she talks about kind of the misconception that people have of Africa. And I like how she makes a differentiation. the distinction, I'm not even going to try that word again, the distinction of African-American people and African people. Like, there is a difference.
No, for sure.
And there's and it's nothing wrong with that, but it's like going and seeing their culture and because there's this misconception of like, oh, Africa's poor and underrated and like all of these like negative thoughts of Africa, when really it's a rich, vibrant place full of culture and tradition and all of these wonderful things. So she was really just like highlighting that.
No, so true. It makes me think about, Dime was just showing me this filter that's used in movies and TV shows, just American media, of when characters in the show or whatever it is will go to Mexico, and there's this filter that they use. It's like a yellow toned kind of grainy filter, and they use it in
like an aesthetic filter.
It's an aesthetic filter, right? So they just slap it on top of the video, and it's like, oh, we're in Mexico now, and it's just to like make us as Americans feel like Mexico is dusty and dirty.
Oh, interesting.
And poor and like not as progressive as we are. Yeah. And it's just a way to make us see other countries as like less,
like this propaganda that they're less than the US.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a lot of poorness in Africa and other countries.
Right.
So it's fair to like say that it's not as fancy or nice as America.
Different parts.
Different parts of America, but for us to like just not see people in Africa as human beings and to see them as
these people who are just like begging for help and they need us and kind of that white savior, like, I'm gonna come and save you, and it's like, nah,
we didn't ask for this. Fine to begin with.
Yeah, it's like give me genuine help if you want to do something. Don't do it like, oh, you poor thing.
No. So I love how she tackled that.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're doing this jump, and she's Africa Phoebe, and she's like, yeah, we're going to do it. And when they get there, she's like so scared out of her mind. And she's like, instead like of a simple, you're right, this is hard, this is scary, but I believe in you, you can do this, this very scary thing. Like, the people there, they're like, you gonna do it or what? Basically, they're not the comfort that she needed at that point, which I feel like that would be me. Like, I need someone to calm me down. It's even like when I get shots, I'm better about it now. But it's like, because I know I can't see the needle and I'll be fine. But it was like, if I saw the needle, I'd be like, wait. Like, hold on.
I feel 3-2-1. Me too, honestly. Not as extreme, but I get the feeling of like, that's a big ass needle you have to stick into me.
Right. But if it was just like, hey, calm down, like, you're gonna be fine, like, it's gonna be all right, like.
And that's basically what her assistant whispers to her, because she's not like a loud person.
Yeah.
I think she's like Belgian mixed with something else.
Yes.
And she's just like, Phoebe puts it so beautifully, like, very different. She's like, I imagined her as the girl of Pitch Perfect who doesn't say much.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of imagine her a little bit like that, but obviously she, you know, gets along with Phoebe and loves Phoebe. So she's there for her during this time. And honestly, a lot of her travel experience in this chapter is with her bestie assistant, work partner, like
May. I think that's how you say her name.
May. Yeah,
that looks like how it's spelled.
She's her right hand man.
Yeah. Yeah. And
woman.
Yeah. And so she says this on page 143. She says, obviously, since you were reading this book, that didn't happen, like her falling to her death. She said, because I lived to tell the tale. What did happen was I took a risk, and it made me proud of myself in a way I never quite felt before. And it wouldn't have been possible if I didn't say yes. Yes to walking off the bridge. Yes to traveling to Africa. Yes to getting my passport. Yes to listening to that tiny voice inside me, the one that often got drowned out by all the others saying that traveling isn't a possibility. That small voice remained steady and constant, believing nonetheless, and it seems, so I did. Although I'm not sure how.
I'm proud of her.
I was super proud of her too, because I was like, couldn't have been me. Would not have been.
Would not have been me either.
Mm-mm, can't do it. I can't even do drops at amusement parks. Like, it freaks me out.
I don't do them anymore either.
I love roller coasters though, but like, I can't do the ones with like, boom, boom, like the huge drops.
Yeah, push yourself to your limits.
A little bit.
Like, you know, just also understand who you are, because she's like, I would never have done this in New York.
Mm-hmm.
My family is very anti doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's what she goes into in the rest of the essay, where she's talking about how her parents aren't travelers and stay at home. I can relate to that. She talks about like,
oh, my parents basically only hung out with themselves my whole childhood. They weren't like flying out with their friends on trips or anything.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of anti doing anything extra. Mm-hmm. They're like, I've done so much in my life that like, why? I'm trying to be like low key.
Right. Right. Even she says like on their family vacations, it like wasn't this big extravagant thing. It was like, all right, we're going to this place and like chilling.
Relatable content though. Mm-hmm.
Very relatable. I was about to ask, how were your, like, did you have family trips growing up?
Yeah, I mean, it was very much similar to Phoebe in the sense that it wasn't like, we're going to a five-star resort, mm-hmm. we're not flying out usually, we're probably driving to our grandparents' house in Texas, and like, maybe we'll stop at some other family's house on the way, and like, do some fun stuff in Texas with our grandparents, like, go to the farm. Like,
I'm not the farm. I'm so weak.
You know what I mean? Like, really chill, you know, random, like, trips we had to go on for my brother's soccer tournament.
Yeah, so pretty, like, standard.
Really basic.
Mine, too. It was very much going back and forth from New Orleans all the time.
Like,
those 6 hours, it flew by at a certain point, but it was also, like, oh, we have to drive 6 hours to New Orleans. But I always got to see my cousins and all of that. So very, like, family-oriented. No, very, like, big trips all the time. We went on some trips, but,
there,
like,
would be, like, once every...
Blue moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say every 10 years. You got,
not a,
like,
decade.
You got, like, a
You got
nice,
the good one.
You got a nice, good vacay. But other than that... And it's honestly, like... still a vibe. Now I kind of wish I could go on them in a way, just because everything was paid for. I didn't worry about lodging, food, none of that.
Being adult is ghetto traveling.
It's
because
ghetto.
You realize how much it costs and you're like, oh, that's why we didn't go on too many trips.
Yeah, and she does mention, like, okay, so maybe my parents just couldn't afford to raising two children, and like, how our idea of the American dream and like making it as black people is basically assimilating into white society, suburban society, middle class, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And there is one part in here that just reminded me of stuff you literally are going through.
I know exactly what you're talking. I have it highlighted already.
Yeah. I was like, wow. So this is a very universal experience.
Yeah. Yeah, which before we get to that, I wanted to point out how this quote on 149, it's not even a quote, it's like a, this whole section of 149, but basically of how the media frequently portrays POC life as the following. One, rife with adversity due to skin color and or lack of wealth. Two, that we're in homemade studios making mixtapes or playing sports. Or three, that white people invade our spaces in order to find themselves and learn to be grateful for their own lives. Ooh. Because people of color make do with so little.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. And then she goes on to say, if anything, the general perception of traveling for POC is getting out of poverty or the bad neighborhood they currently reside in. If we're lucky enough to do that, the reward is not a vacation or a chance to head to another country to have fun and fall in love, make life-changing friends, like, you know, like the stuff you see in Eat, Pray, Love, or to land in a middle-class community in which we're one of few or the only one of our kind. Supposedly, this new position as the neighborhood token is how us black folk know we've done right in life. Ooh. Assimilation in white-dominated spaces is the end game, not our own individual happiness, which exists outside the purview of whiteness. And this was on 149.
Yeah, that was really it for me, because I was like, wow, you hit the nail on the damn head.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where it's like, fuck, I didn't even think about it that way. Mm-hmm. Because that is what you see, like, in a lot of black movies, you'll see, oh, they're like in the hood and this is how they like survived and like got out the hood and into this like suburbia white neighborhood.
Oh my god.
And then there's the ones where they get to the suburbia white neighborhood and it's like, you're black and we're gonna let you know it.
No, it's a everyday struggle, no yeah. matter what side you're on. Mm-hmm. And what's so sad to me is that some people are like in the midst of the struggle, wondering why they feel so shitty, because in their head, this is the dream. Mm-hmm. But it's like, again, back to that us existing in white dominated spaces that were never our spaces to begin with. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be fulfilled, satisfied, happy, even accepted the way we want to, because they don't want us there.
Right.
I mean, right. maybe not to that extreme.
But like, most times it is to that extreme. It's like, as much as we want to believe it's not and like have hope that it's not, sometimes it's like you have to call a spade a spade.
No, it's true, because when you get down to the facts of it all, mm-hmm. and like the targeting of it all. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. And 150 is where you're getting to that point about me and the HOA. And she talks about her brother's experience with his HOA and how his grass was too high and he got a letter in the mail about cutting his grass.
I was like, this has been happening to Lana for the past 6 months. She's been dealing with her whack ass HOA who like is, I guess, pulling up with rulers once a week to check her grass.
Granted, you don't got to pull up to a ruler, because those weeds, they high. They get high.
They're weeds.
So, they're weeds, and they're weeds. Here's the thing. It'd be one thing if I hadn't informed them, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is a problem that I inherited with this house. And, like, it's one thing if I hadn't called them and already told them that and been like, I'm handling it. Mm-hmm. That would have been one thing. But I literally told you, like, you should have it somewhere. Like, oh, hey, this is the house that, like, unfortunately they have this going on, but they're doing something about it, instead of sending me letter on letter on letter, which made me believe that somebody had to have been complaining. And that's why I ended up telling them, like, if it is somebody in the neighborhood complaining, tell them to come talk to me directly. Mm-hmm. Like, either you can send them the message about what's going on, or I can talk to them.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, what Phoebe says, who has time for this? Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that deep.
It's really not that
deep. At the end of the day, it's not that deep of an issue.
You're not harming anyone. Mm-hmm. And if you want, not even if you want, you don't want the weeds there either. It's right. Like, I'm trying my damn best. Mm-hmm. And just because you're at home all day.
With
and,
nothing else to do.
And yeah, going on a walk 12 million times a day because you're just bored. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing she talks about, is how white America is bored.
They are.
They're so bored that they have to go explore another country to get enlightened about how blessed they are in their beautiful, perfect world, where they have time to literally call HOA about somebody's grass.
Yeah, where it's like, some of it I can see how it can be a very humbling experience and actually good. Mm. But a lot of the time, that's not it.
It's like romanticizing literally these people's like struggle, mm. in a way, and just like dipping your toe in and being like, oh, I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's like, no, you don't, because you're not living through it.
You're not living through it. You're like, it's just so different when you're visiting somewhere.
Right. And so Phoebe talks about how the myth that black people have zero desire to travel is so stigmatized and like shown everywhere. And I think that's why I like this chapter so much, because it made me even this entire book so far, it's made me realize things. And again, with reading, mm-hmm. at Kanye, with reading, it makes you realize these things that like you kind of knew but didn't realize how deep it went until you're like, oh shit.
This shit's systematic.
It's systematic, and nobody can tell me otherwise. Mm-hmm. And also she goes on 151 and she says, it can be downright terrifying and life-threatening to travel while black.
No, that's also a thing.
And like, we did that TikTok of the book, and I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head.
We'll link it.
About the black woman who traveled to all of the different countries and talked about her experiences each of the countries. Yeah. And said the place where she experienced the worst racism was here in the U.S.
Wow.
So Anywho, but there was another book that I had not heard of that was made in 1936 by Victor Hugo Green, and it's called The Negro Motorist Green Book, which served as a guide for Black New York City dwellers to know basically which businesses they could patronize without suffering discrimination or abuse in Jim Crow America.
Fire.
And it's kind of like, and she talks about Travel Noir, which is another blog where it's kind of the same thing, where it talks about traveling while Black, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, in the face of the unbearableness of living in Jim Crow America, Black people still chose joy. And that's what I love about being Black. Like, at the end of, we are so, I'm like getting hyped up and I can't think of words and like say the words, but we're just so
resilient,
magical, happy, full of life.
Yep.
I love being Black.
Me too.
I love it here.
It's a joyous experience.
It is, and I hate that so many people like try to get us to believe that it's like the worst thing that could have happened to you.
What?
Being Black.
Oh, yeah, they'll beat that shit in.
Yeah, and being like, "Oh, damn. Now you have to deal with X, Y, and Z."
Break our spirit.
You can't break my soul, baby.
You can't break my soul.
At Beyonce. Hi, friend.
No, but the Green Book, so sick,
isn't it? Oh, her trip to Budapest, where she was so enveloped with it and like truly found herself genuinely feeling that happiness of traveling, because she talked about how when she was in college, and I felt this, and she was like, even now as an adult, you see all these people on social media, people that you know or went to school with, and they're like traveling and going here and going here, and you're sitting like, damn, like I wish. Like, I don't have the funds for that right now, but one day I'm going to do it.
Catch me outside.
How about that? But yeah, it, like, I was literally just thinking about this. I was like, I have a bucket list of places that I like want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, sis, what we doing?
I know. This chapter made me want to book my next trip.
Book the flight now. It made me rethink about how I want to do. I don't know if I told you, I want to do Disneyland for my birthday next year.
I'm so down for that. I'm so ready.
Because
to
I was like,
at Disney World.
To drink around the world at Disney. And not only that, California. I've always wanted to go to California.
Ooh.
So, like, Disney Cali trip.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, mark your calendars. sorry, I totally got off track.
Yeah,
with
what
that.
We
were talking about her trip to Budapest, and
it came at the right time for her because she was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's honestly like we all start from like the bottom, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
I mean,
not all of us.
Not all.
Some
of us.
Some of us are blessed.
Yeah, that's true. But if you aren't blessed in that area, mm-hmm. you're starting from the bottom of whatever industry you're at. And when she said like she got this offer to go basically do a stand-up comedy show, improv sketch type of comedy
class, mm-hmm.
For these tech guys who needed to learn about some sort of something, like I don't even know what it was.
It was an improv comedy class. That's all it was. Yeah, to these tech people.
Oh, well, I thought they were learning something, but I guess they're just learning how to improv.
Yeah, it was her first, like, higher-paying comedy gig where they paid for her travel, her lodging, all of that, and she got a check. And she was like, even though most of the check is going to go to, like, my team and I'm not really going to see that much of a net profit, like, it was a worthwhile experience, though, that mm-hmm. she got traveling.
Yeah, and she had just gone through a breakup, so it was mm-hmm. almost like she got to just escape a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in her life that she traveled.
Mm-hmm.
She got her passport.
Yeah, like, which that was a whole experience. I remember getting my passport, too, and being like, where are we going?
I know. And I do feel that of like holding it and being like, oh,
it's so
nice.
Official. Yeah, it's thick too.
It's like, I guess this is why I paid $200.
Yeah. And she had to pay for express too. So
me too, girl.
Ooh.
It sucked. But
I hate that for y'all.
But the experience was fire. Like
yeah.
going to Ecuador honestly changed my, it just opened my worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it changed my life. But it could change my life in the sense that, like, now I'm thinking about potentially like, oh, as a remote employee, I can really work from other countries if I want to.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, if you've never been to the country that you're thinking of going to, do some research on it. Mm-hmm. And it may be way more accessible than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many like budget friendly TikToks for traveling that mm-hmm. you can find. I've seen so many of them and I've just never like sat down and really did the research.
Yeah.
But now this makes me want to do the research.
It's really just like a lot of planning, but yeah. And I think that's why so many people don't do it. Mm-hmm. It's because it is a lot of time.
It is a lot of time.
And you don't know so much, and it may be somewhere where you don't speak the language. Mm-hmm. So it gets complicated, and it's definitely like, if you're not going to a resort or like a touristy spot, like you will feel lost in certain points. But overall, I think it just makes you literally appreciate so much stuff that you don't even think about. Like,
yeah.
When I came back to the States and walked into the airport and could read the signs and stuff, I was like, oh my God, this is so great. I was like kissing the floor. I was like,
I'm so weak.
I love America.
You're like, I'm happy to be home.
No, literally.
That's so funny. But then she says, being carefree while Black is not widely accepted, though. And she talked about this story that I didn't even know happened in Napa.
Yeah.
Where 11 either. Black women in this book club called Sisters on the Reading Edge were reminded of this when they were kicked off of the Napa Valley wine train for laughing and being too boisterous. Like, they literally were causing a commotion. And basically
arrested them.
They weren't arrested. They were escorted by the police.
Basically arrested.
Low-key kind of arrested.
That's like, you're getting escorted off by police.
Yeah.
To everyone, it looks like you're getting arrested.
No, that's see, it's embarrassing.
Some of them lost their jobs.
Yeah, a couple of them. I was like, what? Like, that was the really wild part. Because
that's like national news, probably.
Right. And she said, look, I understand that people being loud in a public setting can be irritating. Like, I know we've probably gone out sometimes.
I know.
And people have been like,
I was
bro.
Thinking about, like, we could have easily been kicked out of so many spots.
So many
for,
places.
Like, the way we'd
existing.
Be like, like,
Kiki.
Normal
yeah.
shit.
And she says, however, in a world that wants to embarrass, shame, or criminalize Black women for not operating within the confines of stereotypes, Jezebel are strong and angry. I find it deliciously defiant and, more important, necessary for Black women to show public displays of happiness. And it's that thing of like, this is why this is important.
Black joy. Remember Black Boy Joy?
Yes.
I love that.
I do
that
remember
hashtag.
That. They sued, though, and they settled for an undisclosed amount. But clearly not enough money in the world to make up for instilling fear in Black people and escalating a situation which so often results in murder at the hands or gun of a cop.
Seriously. It's like, as bad as losing your job is, that's so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the worst case scenario.
Right. It's not.
You could have lost your life.
Life.
That's real talk.
Right. It's terrible. Or even this one was even more wild to me, her experience on 158 when she was visiting British Bake Off in England, and she was in the supermarket and this older man was staring at her, and she talks about how, you know, being Black, you're already looked at differently, and like, she wears braids and like loud makeup and whatever, so she knows she gets looks. And so she was like, you know, this just one day I was like, you know, I'm gonna just look. And she looked at him and he says, can I take a picture of you? And she was like, okay, you know, like, he just wants a little cute picture or whatever.
She said, oh, I'm getting scouted.
Right.
Phoebe's funny.
Right. But here's the kicker. This is why he wanted the picture. He says, we've never seen a Black person before, because he wants to use this picture to show his wife.
How are you going to make... Like, how do you ask somebody that? How do you say that?
He did it.
It's upsetting.
And she says this was an older gentleman, which makes me think he was around during a time where that probably would have been acceptable and no one would have looked at him any differently.
Yeah.
But now in a more modern society where it's like, bro, like, that's a no-no.
Yeah. I'm not a fucking animal at the zoo. I've never seen a Black person before. Keep it to yourself.
Google. That's literally what she said. She's like, Google Images? Hello?
Well, when I read that, I was like, I think he meant, like, in real life.
Yeah, right.
But
still. It's just weird. It's just weird. Like, you don't need to make
a whole thing about it. Like, I'm a human being at the end of the day, just like you.
Right. And she talks about, you know, how as harmless as it could have been, like, oh my gosh, like, it may not have been from a negative or hatred place, mm-hmm. but it kind of emphasizes that Black experience of just feeling othered for and, sure. like, being called out on it.
Oh my God, right?
Which is just...
That's real, though, because there's a lot of areas in the world where they literally have never seen Black people.
Yeah, like, that's a real thing. Yeah. And that's what I had to think. I was like, but that's real, though.
It is.
It probably happens more often than not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, it's still crazy. Or even her being harassed at the airport when she had business mm-hmm. class. And
I was so happy she said something to this
guy. Was too.
Because he basically her whole team got on the plane before she did. Mm-hmm. And so she's the last one getting on. And they were like, oh, obviously you're not with them. So he gets all up in her face like, we're not boarding business class right now. You know, as in you obviously are not, you know, wealthy enough to be here.
No, he's saying we're boarding business class, as in not in business class.
Right. What she said. And she basically tells him off.
Like, I got time today.
Yeah. She said, one thing about me is I'm gonna match your energy mm-hmm. and embarrass you and flip the table.
As she should.
And I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I probably am not as, like, my personality, like, I'd be so, like, anxious in the moment that I'd be like, no, I'm in business class. Like, here you go. Here's my, like, just, like, freaking out instead of, like, but I wit, like, I hope that I would have this energy.
I hope so, too.
So, anywho. But I was just, like.
There's nothing better than, like. Justified anger, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then he was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm so sorry.
Now he can think about that every other time a Black person pulls up to business class boarding.
Or anybody in general. Like, what gives you the right to be like, oh, you don't look like you belong here?
I know. Ugh.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. It's and so just, real.
It's so unnecessary.
It's, there was just a lot of good stuff in here.
Mm-hmm. Or even how I was talking about, we're getting to the part where she talks about the website Travel Noir, and she said, which caters to the Black travel experience, reports that less than 3% of travel advertisements are focused on Black people.
Yeah, that, to me, I was like, yeah, I've never seen a Black person in any of those, like,
travel
beaches.
Or sandals.
Sandals, the ones you see a lot. And yeah. I was just like, I was actually just talking about how advertising is, it's got a lot of work to do when it comes to diversity.
It does.
Research, data, budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of, like, systematic racism in advertising.
Yeah, who and what you're marketing towards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what that is. But to wrap up the chapter, essay. One day I'm gonna get it, y'all. She gets invited to Mumbai by U2, which I never knew what U2 was until, you know, back in the day when you got a new Apple phone and Apple music, like, it was that U2 song. That U2 song. Well, she got invited to their concert in Mumbai, and she's taking British Bake Off for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she just talks about how, like, wonderful that experience is, and they shouted him out in the crowd. I was like, Beyonce. You know, Beyonce. I know it's unofficial, unofficial that you're going on tour soon. So, you know, if you want to bring us to the tour, front row, Renaissance, hello.
You can shout us out.
You can shout us out.
She needs to make a song about reading.
Right. Being well read.
Yeah. I'd love to see it. About some reading.
Yes. We're here for it. But anywho, it just made me think of that. And so she wraps it up by saying, traveling shouldn't be an elitist or racist activity. It should be available to everyone who wants it, because exploring the world changes you. Literally how you just said, it changed you. You're like, yeah, it really does.
It was such a good chapter. And mm-hmm. she says, I'm writing my own. Did I skip? Are you going to read?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll just read the last sentence because mm-hmm. it was just good.
Yeah.
She says, well, I'm writing my own story. I am a Black girl. I am a black girl who travels.
Period. Shout out to all the black women traveling. You love to see it. And again, we're going to link the TikTok that we're talking about with the book about the black women traveling to all of the countries and her experiences in the episode description.
And now I want to plan like a Shewell Red excursion.
Ooh.
So that we baddies? Can become well read. Baddies on vacation.
Period. We're speaking it. It's going to happen.
To Joshua Tree, where she went to watch you two in Mumbai. Because that sounds cool. I don't know where Joshua Tree, what it looks like. But it sounds fantastic.
Maybe. We'll see. But the next essay is, please don't sit on my bed in your outside clothes.
Is it?
It is.
Because I've been wondering when this was going to come up.
When this one was going to come up. Yeah, that's the next one. And you know, there was this TikTok where it was like, when they say the movie name in the movie, I was like, it's the same thing when they say the book title in the book. I get that same feeling like,
yeah. I'm like, so excited because it must be pretty like relevant to the whole thing.
Because this isn't even the last one. This is in the middle.
I like that.
So find out next time. Another episode of She Will Read. I'm Alana.
I'm Samra.
Bye.